Tap
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The White House is fighting back after a three-judge federal panel ruled President Trump cannot use emergency powers to levy his wide-ranging tariffs. Jake Rosen has more on that decision.
The ruling issued by a panel of judges in the U.S. Court of International Trade stopped the sweeping 10% tariffs Mr. Trump put on virtually every U.S. trading partner on his, quote, Liberation Day last month, with higher tariffs threatened for dozens of countries. The court also blocked a separate set of tariffs imposed on China, Mexico, and Canada by the Trump administration, which has cited drug trafficking and illegal immigration as why these tariffs needed to be in place.
The Trump administration has already filed an appeal. He may have been the most prominent member of President Trump's team in Washington, but now he has departed.
Billionaire Elon Musk has announced on his social media platform X that he's leaving his position within President Trump's cost-cutting task force. Mr. Musk has led the Department of Government Efficiency, known as DOGE, since its inception this year. He said his scheduled time as a special government employee had come to an end, and he thanked Mr. Trump for the opportunity.
BBC's Gurvinda Gill reporting. Israel has just announced it will establish 22 Jewish settlements in the occupied West Bank, including the legalization of outposts already built without government authorization. The Trump administration will, quote, aggressively revoke visas of some Chinese students in the U.S. Correspondent Matt Piper fills us in.
In a statement, Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the U.S. will begin revoking the visas of Chinese students, including those with connections to the Chinese Communist Party or studying in critical fields. A day earlier, Rubio halted the scheduling of new visa interviews for international students until the State Department releases guidelines for increased vetting of the students' activity on social media. His words add to the uncertainty for America's international students who have faced intensifying scrutiny from the Trump administration.
Meanwhile, CBS's Jennifer Kuiper reports President Trump's list of pardons is getting longer.
President Trump signs off on a full pardon for former GOP Congressman Michael Grimm of New York, who was convicted in 2014 of tax fraud and related charges. Also in the latest round of pardons, Louisiana rap artist NBA Youngboy, New York union leader James Callahan, and former Connecticut Governor John Rowland. And after announcing he was going to pardon reality TV stars Todd and Julie Chrisley, they were released from prison.
Alaska's Department of Public Safety says nearly a year after the search was suspended for a family of four missing after their boat capsized off South Central Alaska, that vessel, along with human remains, have been found. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Phillies tomorrow night. The crew beat the Red Sox 6-5 in 10 innings yesterday. It was Milwaukee's first three-game sweep of the year. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's a great feeling to feel like you sense that they believe, and that's a great feeling. Our pitching hung in there and did enough.
NFL at the Packers OTA practices. Defensive back Jaire Alexander remains absent while the team tries to renegotiate his contract. Safety Xavier McKinney asked if he'd like to see Jaire back with the Pack.
We would all like him back. I talk to him every day. Just try to stay connected with him. Obviously, we've developed a great relationship with each other. At the end of the day, like, I'm going to be behind him regardless of, you know, what the situation is going on. We've developed a relationship good enough off the field to where it's like, I just want what's best for you.
That's Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbins. Partly sunny skies today, highs in the mid-70s, a spotty shower or thunderstorm possible later in the afternoon. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the lower 50s. On Friday, sunny skies and a warmer day with highs in the lower 80s. Right now, 53 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, joins us to talk about the state budget going through joint finance and another compelling edition of What's Worse. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Great to have you with me. We got a great show tonight. we're going to talk about, I got one word that's going to describe probably the first half hour of this show. And it is a topic we need to talk more about. It is an American pastime. It is one of our favorite foods. I'm talking about, of course, the hamburger.
You can't get better than that.
It is national, Conrad, National Hamburger Day. This is not regional. This is not just something we're practicing here on Washington Street in downtown Green Bay. This is all over. People are celebrating the hamburger today. We're going to talk about hamburgers, and we have a hamburger-related question of the night, which is coming up. Lots of stuff going on. We can take this off my list. We've got I did not time my gelato very well. I got here... Well, a few minutes early, because we had a lot of recording to do, and I thought I'd have a nice half hour to enjoy my gelato. So would it be weird? Like, could we push the show just about 20 minutes and let me finish my gelato? Is that an option?
I don't think that's an option.
All right. So last night we had some technical issues. I don't want to dwell on them, but I could have wolfed down gelato and people would not have been as likely to hear me slurping.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Really fun show. Great that you guys are here tonight. Our pal Matt Miller is going to be here at 6:35 to talk about last weekend's mammoth box office take. The movies are back. It appears at least Hollywood for the time being is back. I know there's production issues going on in the state of California, which affects all of us. But for now, we appear to be coming out of that that pandemic slump. When people weren't going to theaters and production was halted, it feels like and it seems like everything is catching up finally. And people are going to movies again. The really big, great, well-done movies are finally hitting the theaters. Not that there haven't been a few in the last few years, but this last weekend, so far from last weekend, we are up 30% from where we were last year at this point in May, Memorial Day weekend. And Lilo and Stitch and Mission Impossible 8, The Final Reckoning, crushed records for a four-day weekend, a two-film combined take. They beat Barbenheimer. They beat the biggest take at the box office for all the movies combined was $314 million in 2013. There was like a Star Trek and Fast and Furious and one other movie, Hangover 3, I think. And this past weekend, they took in like $342 million. And they're setting records, too, overseas as well. So very exciting. It's good that movies are back. People are going back to movies. I just love it. We're going to talk about all of that with Matt Miller. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic, and he writes a column at A Man About Film. You can follow him there. Matt is always fun to talk to. We're also going to break down Mission Impossible and what we thought. And Matt saw, I think he saw The Accountant 2. And he saw another one I didn't see. Oh, Final Destination Bloodlines, which has gotten really good reviews. It's still in theaters. It came in third place last weekend at the box office. So Matt saw that film. We'll talk about all this with Matt. He's always fun to talk to. And then this is a really cool thing, too. In hour number two at 7:20, Dennis Graham is going to be here. He is the founder and producer of Rockonson. This is a garage band contest for kids ages like 7th grade to 12th grade. There are 10 finalists that are going to perform at Summerfest, and we're going to talk about it with Dennis. We're going to find out more about the competition. It just sounds like so much fun. We talked to him briefly on Bar Band Friday night about a month ago. Terry Barr brought him on for a few minutes. But tonight we get a little more time with Dennis, and we'll find out about his operation and everything that is cooking at Rockonson. Great name, too. How do you like that name, Conrad?
I absolutely love it.
I couldn't do better. What do you call it? Music Wisconsin?
Melodies of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin lyrics. None of it works. Rockonson, he crushed it. And it just works out, you know? So that's great. So Dennis will be here at 7:20. Matt at 6:35. By the way, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, they showed a quick close-up. I think I mentioned last night there's like a 30-minute recap in the movie. It's told in a narrative. It's not just highlights of other movies or like last week on such and such. It's done through the narrative, and it's really well done. But I will say, if I found a flaw in the movie, it was just that I couldn't wait for the actual part eight to get going. And once it does, it's great. And even the lead up is great, especially if you haven't seen the other Mission Impossibles. But there is a quick flash of Ethan Hunt and his history, and his driver's license appears on screen and says, Ethan Hunt, Madison, Wisconsin.
How about that?
I got way, way more excited about that than I should have. Like, everybody's from somewhere.
Yeah.
It's a fictional character, but it was still cool to see Madison, Wisconsin on there. So that was just a fun thing to see during the film. And when are you going to see it, Conrad? You really have no excuses.
I'm definitely going this weekend, I'd say, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. We also have to read a text. I'm going to try to find this from Eliza. She was a guest on the show last Thursday, and she sent us in this nice text. And last night we were so packed and playing catch up, I wasn't able to read it on the air because it's kind of a longer text. Where is that? Is that in the chat, the Nightlight chat?
Yeah, I can send it to you.
Please do. Eliza was a fun guest and a great member, new addition to the team here in the Northeastern Wisconsin chapter of Civic Media. So here's that text. She says, hey, Pete, it's your new Australian bestie, Eliza, calling in from Green Bay. I want to change my answer that I've told you. Wait, what was her answer? What was the question?
I think it was about musicals, maybe, or not musicals, films produced or made in Australia.
Yes, perfect. Okay. She said, of course, looking for a LeBrandy is a classic. Any Australian born up after 1980 will know it and love it. But there's something that your listeners need to know about, and that is an Aussie series on Amazon Video called Deadlock. And it is this kind of half tongue-in-cheek murder mystery set in this tiny town at the bottom of Australia in rural Tasmania. Oh, I love that. And if you've seen Top of the Lake, If you've seen Top of the Lake set in New Zealand, it's kind of making fun of that and the whole kind of Scandinavian small town mystery genre. I love this. And I think it's one of the best series ever made. They just wrapped filming season two, so you can watch this and love it and know that there's more coming, which we know is a good feeling. Thanks to you both. She's thanking you, Conrad. Did we thank her? I think we did.
Thank you, Eliza, for texting in. It said a voice note, so...
Is that what it was? Because I didn't know where
it was on the voicemail.
So what is this show called? Deadlock. I'm going to have to check that out. I didn't know that other show she was talking about either. There is another show with Thomas Jane set in Australia. It's a murder mystery. And I'll have to find out the name of that, too, and ask Eliza if she's seen that. But this sounds like a pretty cool show. I love the title, too, Deadlock. Thank you, Eliza, again. All right. I think we need to get to our question of the night. What do you think, Conrad?
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of National Hamburger Day, not regional, what are your favorite burger toppings? What are you putting on your burgers, folks? We got a whole summer of burger eating ahead of us. I go burgers over brats. I can have like one brat and then I'm like, okay, it was good. I like the brat. I don't have to have multiple brats over the summer. So I tend to go burger.
I like burgers more too because you can get more protein out of the burger.
Is that true?
Well, it depends what kind of beef you use. Because if you use like, I use like 93.7.
Oh, that's the sirloin.
Yeah, that's the good stuff.
That is the good stuff, but the burgers are less juicy. But maybe that's good. Maybe you don't like a juicy burger.
You know, actually, that's true because I made burgers out of that a couple weeks ago and it was good. It wasn't as juicy. And then I went to a festival and I got a gourmet burger, which is probably 80-20.
Okay.
And yeah, my pan was just filled with...
That is what I think restaurants, I think they use the 80-20 because of the fat and the the juices.
Yeah.
I find a happy medium. I go with ground chuck, 85% lean. And but when I was a kid, man, I don't know where this was, but it was like you could buy less than 80-20. It was like 60-40 or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I always, even as a kid, I'm like, I'm steering clear of that. But I do like the ground chuck. Anyway. That's neither here nor there. In honor of National Hamburger Day, what are your favorite burger toppings? That is tonight's Nightlight question of the night. Let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. Very easy to use. Hope you have it. If you don't, you should. And if you're watching on the stream, you can send your stream comment, too, through YouTube, Facebook. What else, Con?
Twix.
WGBW website. WISS website. There's all kinds of way to Nightlight. And if you're there, give us a like or a follow if you're so inclined. We always like a thumbs
definitely,
up.
Definitely. Yeah.
We love a thumbs up. So I don't know. What are you gonna do? You go first tonight.
Comes down to what type of burger is my favorite. It's a mushroom Swiss.
Yeah,
I love sauteed mushrooms on it. But on top of that is still lettuce, tomato. Some onions, and then you got to top it off with some mayo.
Yeah. You put mayo
on the
mushroom and Swiss? Is that the typical topping?
I don't think so, but I like that's what I add to all my burgers is that. But if it's not a mushroom Swiss, all the same ones I said, those will be on my toppings. Yeah. I love mushrooms on it, though.
Here's what I'm working with. My favorite burger I've ever had. Is at a place called Superdog in Chicago. It's a drive-in. They're still there. They've been around for decades. And it's the car hop. You know, you hit the buzzer. They come out and they take your order. And they have something called a super cheesy. And they have that real green relish, great cheese, grilled onions. And I'm one of those guys. I know we have a text from our pal Rich Tallarico, who is not a fan of raw onions. But I like both. I sometimes I'm in the mood for raw. Sometimes I'm in the mood for grilled. But the super cheesy at Superdog is great. Dottie Dumplings Dowry has phenomenal hamburgers. And I think it was ranked number one in the state by our friends at Up North News. Christina Laurie said they sell, 100,000 burgers a year? They only have like 19 tables at Dottie's and they sell 100,000 hamburgers a year. That's incredible. But they have a great combo too. I'm going to go jalapeno, bacon, blue cheese, and occasionally there's this kind of like New Orleans or Southern jam they put on this burger at a place called the Rail House in Marinette.
That's you turned me off with the blue cheese, but the other ingredients sound really good.
Well, I don't need the blue. I like the blue cheese, but I don't always get it. It just depends what, but I do like jalapenos on a burger.
That jam sounds amazing.
Oh, it's so good. It's just not right. All right. So there you go. Share with us, folks, your favorite toppings, if you would. We have a phone call, Conrad. We can get this in before the break, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Ollie from the Northwoods.
Ollie, how are you?
I am fine.
We got about, we got about 45 seconds. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, you need big hands for this one. you got to have a big burger, lettuce, tomato, onions, bacon, and extra pickles.
Oh, the pickles are nice. That's a great touch. And that's your favorite. Is that what you do all the time, Dottie?
This is Ollie, and that's what we get at Ollie's Burgers.
Awesome call. Thank you so much, Ollie. Have a great night. Eat a burger to celebrate.
It sounds good.
Bye-bye. All right, my friend. Thank you, Ali. All right, we're coming right back. We're going to read your texts. We got all kinds of stuff, folks. You are here on a great night. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba, your host for this evening's festivities. What do you think about Ollie's burger? That was good.
It's I forgot about pickles.
She corrected me.
Dottie's.
I was talking about Dottie dumplings now, so I called Ollie Dottie. Sorry, Ollie.
So pickles, I forgot. That's essential on a burger.
Pickles are great. Now you get pickles and everything. There's pickles in ketchup now, you know. They have flavored ketchup. Yep. I don't need that. That's overkill.
What about fried pickles?
You know what? I tried fried pickles about 2 years ago, and I was surprised how much I liked them.
They're so good.
They are. On our social media, we've been posting the question of the night, folks, on social media, and we get some great responses there. Lisa Hale, host of New Wisco Weekend, which you can catch here at the Civic Media Radio Network Saturdays and Sundays. She does a great job hosting, by the way. And do you have a segment this weekend?
I do. It's about kayaking in Wisconsin.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I do the classic movie pick of the week. I got a great movie pick in honor of June Dairy Month. It's Dairy Adjacent, the movie.
Yeah, I see it.
As I say, there aren't many great riveting films about milk or cheese. So I had to kind of pivot a little bit, but I always try to hit the theme when I can. But Lisa says, raw onion, one or two pickle. I don't know if that's a typo, but I love when people use singular when it should be plural. Like, as kind of a stylistic way to talk. And if you meant to do that, Lisa, I'd love that. Raw onion, one or two pickle. Oh, she's... Never mind. She said slices. Raw onion, one or two pickle slices only. She's very specific. Ketchup, mustard, lettuce, tomato. And if I'm feeling sassy, guacamole instead of ketchup.
That's, you know what I think ruins a burger? Sorry, Lisa, but mustard.
You know what I think ruins a burger? This will be a hot take and controversial. Ketchup.
Yeah. You know, I used to like ketchup growing up, like a lot. I don't even really use it anymore.
Yeah.
There's so much sugar in it anyways.
Right.
And without the sugar in it, it doesn't taste good.
Agreed.
So I went away from that and started using like a low-fat mayo or whatever.
Yeah, mayo's good. My wife bought this Whataburger sauce.
Oh, my.
That's pretty good. That's probably just mayo and ketchup. But I like the two burger places I talked about, Superdog in Chicago and Dottie Dumplings in Madison. My two favorite burgers don't have ketchup. They have like some hot peppers and some relish and grilled onions, good stuff. Rich Tellerico says, raw onion grilled should be banned. Hashtag enough.
Oh, wow. All right.
That's such a funny hill to die on. No grilled onions on burgers. I said before, I like them both. Just depends on my mood. Thank you, Rich. We should have Rich back on.
Oh, yeah.
Take a memo. You got memos over there? You're not still out of memos. I haven't given you a memo in months, dude.
I'm down to like, 30 okay. Post-it notes.
We can send one. We can get Rich on there. Amanda Nimmer says, cheese, mayo, pickles, tomato. Okay. No ketchup. Notice
no
that.
Ketchup?
Melissa K, this has to be the text of the night.
Yes.
And I'm circling this. And Melissa gets the gold star for outrageous burger toppings. Peanut butter, pineapple, and cilantro with a dash of sriracha.
I wonder if she's actually serious about that or if that's a joke.
I could go cilantro and sriracha, but the pineapple and peanut butter, I think I'd vomit.
Violently. I've tried peanut butter on a burger. Not as bad as you think.
All right. Well, this is funny because Lisa Hale commented on that. And she said, Melissa, ew. What ingredient do you think she was ewing?
I don't know. All of them?
Not the one you think. Yeah, maybe. Cilantro. She says, cilantro, that's the devil. I'm the peanut butter is not getting close to my burger or the pineapple. I can live with cilantro. I like cilantro. Monica Hale says sauteed mushrooms, mustard, ketchup, lettuce, pickles, tomato. Ketchup and tomato. That's insanity. That's a lot of red. Thank you, Monica. Sarah Jean says extra pickles. The rest is optional as long as I get those pickles. I love that. That's fantastic. So we got some texts here on the text line as well. Jim from Brookfield says, hi, Pete. Just got home from the theater after Mission Impossible. When the driver's license scene came up, there was a noticeable reaction from the audience. I heard a couple of cools. That's Jim from Brookfield. Yeah, it was kind of fun. Such a weird thing, but it was still kind of exciting to see that. Conrad's mom checks in. My favorite toppings are fried onions, mushrooms, pickle relish, and cheese. I always remember that about your mom, that you guys both like the mushroom burger.
Yes.
Conrad's dad says, trivia question tonight. Name this iconic burger. Two all beef patties special sauce. Conrad, I'm looking away. You see, I'm not looking at the text.
Yeah.
I can say this. Two all beef patties special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun. That is the Big Mac, Steve. Best burger song of all time. All right. Thank you, buddy. Barb from Waukesha says, the Elvis burger is delicious. It sounds disgusting, but I love the sweetness of the peanut butter.
So I looked at the picture, and it says the Elvis burger is topped off with fried bananas, peanut butter, and bacon in honor of the late Elvis.
You know, with that combination, you know what ruins that? The meat.
Just right?
Put the cheese and bacon and, I guess bacon's meat, but I don't think you need the burger there.
I'd be curious to try it. I'd try it just to say I tried it.
Yeah, I would too. That's fine. That's great. Great text, folks. Keep them coming. That's our question of the night. It's National Hamburger Day, ladies and gentlemen. What are your favorite burger toppings? There are no right or wrong answers. There are only your answers. And we've got, Melissa's got the text of the night. Peanut butter, pineapple, and cilantro with a dash of sriracha. Hot diggity dog. All right, so we'll keep reading your text as the show progresses. Have you heard this commercial for Quick Trip yet?
What?
Taco to go. Taco to go.
I have not heard that.
They say it 80 times in 30 seconds. It needs to stop. I cannot. It's just the worst commercial. Even you. Let's be honest. Quick Trip has no bigger fan than Conrad Krieger.
That's
accurate.
Cool.
Yeah. You'll hate it. You'll hate the commercial. Like the establishment, hate the commercial. Dave on the stream says, peanut butter and bacon is great. Try it. I will not be peer pressured, folks. I'm just going to tell you that right now. All right, we'll finish some more text when we come back. Coming up next, folks, Matt Miller. We're going to talk Mission Impossible, the box office, and all things entertainment. That's next on Nightlight after the news. It's Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media or Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. Court of International Trade froze many of the large-scale tariffs imposed by President Trump on virtually every foreign nation, ruling they exceed the president's legal authority. BBC's Jay Kwan reports the White House is already appealing that ruling.
We're not expecting Mr. Trump to go easily. This case will probably travel all the way up and down the U.S. different levels of courts, so we'll see a more protracted fight.
Elon Musk announces he's leaving Washington.
Musk, in his post, thanked President Trump for his opportunity to lead the Department of Government Efficiency, known as DOGE, but ultimately said that it is the end of the road for him, at least right now, when it comes to his work with the federal government.
CBS's Aaron Navarro at the White House. Olivia Gazas tells us Secretary of State Marco Rubio is revoking the visas of some Chinese students.
China is one of the top source countries for international students in the United States.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Brewers head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game weekend series against the Phillies tomorrow night. The crew beat the Red Sox 6-5 in 10 innings yesterday. It was Milwaukee's first three-game sweep of the year. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's a great feeling to feel like you sense that they believe, and that's a great feeling. Our pitching hung in there and did enough.
NFL at the Packers OTA practices. Defensive back Jaire Alexander remains absent while the team tries to renegotiate his contract. Safety Xavier McKinney asked if he'd like to see Jaire back with the Pack.
We would all like him back. I talk to him every day. Just try to stay connected with him. Obviously, we've developed a great relationship with each other. At the end of the day, like, I'm going to be behind him regardless of, you know, what the situation is going on. We've developed a relationship good enough off the field to where it's like, I just want what's best for you.
That's Xavier McKinney with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. History is being made at Max. The streamer just renewed the show Hacks for a fifth season. The show starring Gene Smart is a critic's darling, having won a total of 8 Emmy Awards. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the renewal for season 5 makes it the longest live-action running show in Max history, which is really impressive given that the streamer has only been around for 2 years as Max. Not sure how that adds up. Producers of the show announced the fifth season Tuesday night, just 2 days before the finale for season 4. To say actors need thick skin in the entertainment racket would be an understatement. Kathy Bates recently told Vanity Fair she really wanted the role of Frankie in the 1991 film Frankie and Johnny because she had originated the role on Broadway. Her dreams, however, were crushed when producer Gary Marshall told Bates that the idea of her kissing a man on screen was not what people wanted to see. Why are people the way they are? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. Partly sunny skies today, highs in the mid-70s, a spotty shower or thunderstorm possible later in the afternoon. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the lower 50s. On Friday, sunny skies and a warmer day with highs in the lower 80s. Right now, 53 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser. We have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Sean O'Malley has our weekly look at your money and the markets, and we'll talk about the real story on finding and fighting fraud.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I'm Pete Schwalla. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night that feels like a Tuesday. No, it feels like it actually feels like a Thursday. I don't know. Who cares? PJ on the stream. A lot of people coming out in defense of peanut butter. What is going on in this country? I know we're polarized, but peanut butter on a burger. PJ says crunchy peanut butter all the way. Now he's adding nuts to the equation. PJ says, oh, mushroom Swiss, yummy.
Yep.
And then again, AJ Bombers turned me on to the peanut butter on a burger. AJ Bombers, where is it? PJ, where is that? Tell us where that is.
Actually, there's one in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I remember they make boozy milkshakes.
Oh, they put liquor in the milkshake?
And that was one of the worst gut rots I've ever had in my life.
Why? Why do we have to put booze? I mean, something
it was
be
good.
Safe.
It was good.
Yeah. All right. But it gave you gut rot. I still say Superdog in Chicago, Dottie Dumplings. But, well, that's Matt. Matt Miller's about to join us, folks. He is a Milwaukee film critic, and you can follow him at A Man About Film on Blue Sky. I think Matt's still on Facebook, too, but he does great work there. Check him out, and he has his finger on the pulse of movies and Milwaukee and all things entertainment, and he joins us now on the phone. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing swell. I'm putting up with the fact that the Indiana Pacers are probably going to the NBA Finals. But, you know, I'm sitting with it. I'm dealing with it.
Isn't that funny when your team, like, you know, I'm a lifelong Bulls fan, and the Pacers were their nemesis. And even when the Bulls were done with their runs, I still wanted the Pacers to lose. Is that what you're dealing with here? Just some kind of someone to cheer against?
I think what's frustrating to me is that I love the underdog. I love rooting for small market teams, and the Pacers should be a team that I'm in love with. They play the game in a fun, energetic, the right way. They are a team that was created not around a superstar or a lot of money, but just very smart decisions and drafting. And I hate them. I just think they're so chirpy. They're so undeservedly chirpy, and for nothing. But now they're going to go to the finals and perhaps win because, you know, they've got luck on their side. They've managed to come back in like three games when they're down 20. So I don't know. I'm dealing with it. I'm emotionally processing it. This is why therapists exist.
I think you're going to be fine. Matt, do you
this
have
is the biggest issue that I have to deal with on a couch, you know?
Exactly. Do you have a favorite burger topping, Matt? A lot of people tonight, our question tonight is favorite burger toppings. It's National Hamburger Day, and people are coming out in droves saying peanut butter on a burger. It scares me.
Yeah, that sounds like the Hawaiian pizza to me, where I'm like, that sounds like a bad idea. And maybe it's delicious, but I just can't get past the mental idea of it.
Right.
I like onion strings on a burger.
Oh yeah. Nice.
Like a Western barbecue burger situation. That's if a menu has that on it, I'm almost guaranteed to order it.
Very well said. Well done. Where's a great burger place in Milwaukee, or one that your burger place of choice?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I don't know if I have a burger place that I love. I do like Merriment Social a lot in Milwaukee.
Okay.
I think they kind of have an underrated burger. That's probably my pick for like the best burger. I know a lot of people go to bat for the Diplomat. I think they have a really good kind of like fancy burger that you know, isn't too fancy.
Okay.
So yeah, I'd probably say those are the two I'm most intrigued by.
I have not heard of either one. I'll have to check them out. Thank you. Let's jump right in, Matt. I've been excited to talk to you about this for a while now. I've been talking about Mission Impossible ad nauseum. I couldn't wait to see the final. I have finally come to the grips recently that I just love Tom Cruise. Weirdness, whatever he's done in the past, the guy delivers. He's a phenomenon. He's a spectacle. And I was very excited for Mission Impossible. What did you think?
I like half of this movie quite a bit.
Okay.
I think for the first half, it's a real eat your veggies experience where it's so much exposition and so many flashbacks and so many plot cul-de-sacs that either go unresolved or don't really add up to anything or just go in a circle. And for the first half of the Mission Impossible movie, it's not a good movie. There's also not an action scene really in the first half of the Final Reckoning. You're waiting for the movie to get some momentum and it just kind of gets stuck in the mud. And then the back end of the movie happens. He visits the submarine with the guy from Severance. And from that point on, the movie is incredible. There's two incredible set pieces in the end. But, yeah, it's got a great main course and dessert. But if you can get through the very flavorless appetizer course that takes about an hour and a half to get through, you get a really good blockbuster.
Matt, he's exaggerating, folks. I agree with you. And my biggest problem with the film, but I've come to grips with it, is that recap. And the opening credits don't start to 30 minutes in. But I feel like a lot of people are going to see that film that either haven't seen the other ones or can't remember. Like when there's a franchise with 8 films or the Star Wars, I can't remember what character is from what movie or what scene happened. And I kind of am cutting them slack. Like, not that they had to do it. They could have not talked down to people. But like you, I lived through it. But I agree. If I have one criticism of the movie, it's that first, the recap or the whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of that first half kind of flashback / slog is, you know, the last movie, Dead Reckoning, did not do as well as they hoped. It was not a successful movie. It made a decent amount of money, but it didn't make anywhere near as much as it needed to. And I think there was a concern and a fear with either the producers of the movie, like either the studio, Paramount, or with, you know, Christopher McQuarrie and Tom Cruise, that, you know, if this is the final Mission Impossible movie, or at least the final Mission Impossible of this Tom Cruise era, you know, we want to make sure everybody's on board. And they kind of overcorrected, I feel like. I mean, you see so many flashbacks, and there's a lot of legacy sequel tie-in stuff that I don't really think adds much to the movie. Mission Impossible 3 weirdly plays a significant role. There's a tie-in with the original movie with the John Voight character that does not work whatsoever. And that stuff just kind of hangs on the movie and sags on the movie in a way that, you know, Mission Impossible, the signature image of the franchise, is Tom Cruise running. It's about momentum. It's about exciting, fun spy stuff. And it's so weird that for their final movie, they're like, we have to take 90 minutes of this 3-hour-long movie to recap plot.
That's interesting. I agree with you there, too. Like, the John Voight character and tying that to the Shea Whigham, totally unnecessary. And maybe they touched on that in 7 and I forgot about it, but very extraneous. I don't think you needed that. But, you know, overall, I would say I liked it. But, you know, the critics weren't. I thought this was going to be a slam dunk kind of homage to Tom Cruise, because I feel like the critics don't really hammer movies anymore like they used to. So for this to get
they
what
do
it,
not. That
yeah.
is true.
So for this to get what it got, I was like, geez, this is the film. And not that it wasn't a bad, I think it got an 80, but, you know, it's just magnificent what they are able to put on screen and what they do. And for that, I tip my hat to them. But I totally agree with a lot of what you're saying.
Agreed. And I think it's very, it's smart on one level that, you know, it ends with its best stuff. Those final two big pieces, one on a submarine and obviously the big biplane stunt sequence, they're incredible. They are some of the best set pieces you will see in a Hollywood picture this year and maybe most years. It's just kind of a shame that it takes that. It's a really tough sit to get to that point. And I will say I'm kind of, it's weird how sloppy the first half feels too, in terms of plotting and in terms of the edit of the movie. Mm. There's moments in the first half that feel like they should really hit, they should be really big crowd pleasing moments. The unmasking that happens in the first act of the movie feels like that should be a triumphant moment, and it kind of just happens. And a key character passes away in the first half of the movie,
right.
And it's kind of cinnamon rolled and twisted inside of all of these weird plot mechanics that end up making your brain more confused than invested in the moment. And it's just kind of a shame, and I wonder how much of that stuff is COVID. They filmed a lot of this movie during COVID. That's why the budget of this movie is ridiculous. They had several shutdowns because of COVID. They paid their cast and crew during those shutdowns, which was the right thing to do, but means that the movie needs to make $1 billion worldwide to break even. And I think it also results in some really weird, you know, writing situations where characters are sick and secluded for reasons that you're not really sure why. And I think it's probably because they had to deal with COVID protocols.
My guest is Matt Miller. You can follow him at A Man About Film. He has a great Substack there. He's a Milwaukee film critic, and we are talking about the weekend box office and Mission Impossible. That's a great point, Matt. And I think, too, they shot this when they shot 7, right? Dead Reckoning, like, weren't they shot at the same time, more or less?
They pretty much were shot back-to-back, I'm pretty sure, because this was supposed to come out a lot sooner. I think both of these Mission Impossible movies, I think, were supposed to come out a year or two before now, and so we're getting them well after they were filmed.
That's interesting. That could, explain some of the choppiness, but you'd think, like, two films, one doesn't need to be 3 hours. Like, if you can't tell the story and, you know, if you can't do two-hour films, it might be overkill, you know?
Yeah. And I've talked with two friends about this movie, and every time we talk about the movie, we've come up with ways to shorten the beginning of the film, ways to get rid of excess characters, ways to tighten that first act. And we're not screenwriters by any regard. And I mean, Christopher McQuarrie is one of the best screenwriters in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're able to look at that script and be like, there are obvious nips and tucks to be made here, feels like something got kind of screwed up in the production a little bit, in terms of there was a lot they were having to juggle. And again, I can't blame them. They were trying to film in unprecedented situations, and they were doing the right things.
Absolutely.
It just kind of bleeds into the film.
It's interesting because I feel like, I don't know. Do you think there'll be another one, Matt?
At some point.
Yeah.
100% at some point, a new Mission Impossible will come out. I doubt it will be a Tom Cruise-led Mission Impossible. I think he is done with the Ethan Hunt character. I think he knows there's not really much else he can do on a stunt standpoint that would really impress people.
Right.
I wonder if this is a place where, you know, Tom Cruise has a real liking for people like Glenn Powell, and obviously Greg Tarzan Davis, who plays a character in this movie. And, you know, they tried to hand the franchise over to Jeremy Renner 15 years ago.
Right.
And the movie was so good with Tom Cruise that they had to eject on that plan. But there's definitely a few. I cannot imagine this is the last Mission Impossible movie. As a matter of fact, I am almost guaranteeing that we will get 15 years down the line some sort of legacy sequel where an old man Tom Cruise is, you know, passing the baton off to maybe Glenn Powell or something like that.
Right.
But as of right now, I think they are very content to let this franchise sit for a moment and let Tom Cruise take a well-deserved victory lap on this incredible franchise.
Absolutely. Matt Miller's here. We're going to do a very short break. We'll come back and talk about a record-breaking weekend at the box office. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwalbe. Welcome back. It is a Wednesday night. We are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a rainy night, but it's still beautiful. You know why? Because we're talking about movies and TV and comedy and music and all the things we love and that make life great. And part of we're getting a little help tonight, too, from a very good friend of ours, Mr. Matt Miller, who is a Milwaukee-based film critic. And Matt, you got home safely. You're on the stream. We can see each other now. It's a real conversation. Awesome.
This is much better. So
last weekend was record setting. I think I read something that said the last time all the films in one weekend made that much money was 2013. It made like 314 million. The films this past weekend made like 346 or 341. Is the box office back? And why is that? Is that because of the pandemic? We're finally starting to come out of that and the strikes, or what do you attribute that to?
You know, it's funny because just a month or two ago, everyone was having panic attacks.
Yeah.
The box office was doing really bad to start the year. And now we've had a very strong past 2 months between a Minecraft movie and Sinners obviously becoming this massive hit. Weirdly enough, the Marvel movies have not done that well. They've done fine enough, but they've flopped by Marvel movie standards. You had Final Destination becoming a gigantic smash hit. And obviously, this past weekend, you had Lilo Stitch and Mission Impossible both performing really well. And I think part of it is people like going to the movies. You know, people like seeing a movie on a big screen. They like to get out of the house. They want to see something in a special way. That's part of it. A part of it, too, is Hollywood starting to make, and I know it's funny, in a weekend where one of the movies is a remake and one of the movies is a sequel, the eighth movie in a franchise, but they're starting to dabble in different areas. They're starting to try new things again. You've got stuff like Minecraft and Sinners. Minecraft, a movie that is directed to a younger generation and not a retread. It's not, right. It's not a hand-me-down franchise. It is something that speaks to younger kids. Lilo and Stitch, yes, it's another live-action Disney remake, but it is nostalgia for a new generation. It's nostalgia for my generation and the Gen X and Gen Z and the millennial generation. They're starting to realize that, 80s nostalgia and kind of, the old standbys, culture has changed a little bit. And I do think there's a turn back against the slopification of Hollywood, the idea of these movies that exist just because stakeholders at the studio say they must exist. Hmm. Sinners is doing well because it's a really good movie and because it feels like something a director really wanted to make.
Yeah.
It had passion behind it. A lot of the reason I've talked about this, Barbenheimer, directed by, a bunch of nobodies, isn't a phenomenon. Oppenheimer, directed by Christopher Nolan and Greta Gerwig, two auteurs who really wanted to do something and say something with these topics, those are hits.
So
I think we're in this era now where people, a lot of, name brand movies will still do well. I'm sure Superman will do well and Fantastic Four and Jurassic World will do well. But there is a craving for new things, for things that feel unique and different and feel like something we haven't seen before. And again, I know that's very silly to say in a weekend where Lilo and Stitch Take Two made, $150 million in America, but at least that is a new sense of nostalgia on some level. That is a new generation. We're not just retreading the 70s and 80s one more time.
It's crazy that, and to your point about going to the theater, one of the complaints, going back to Mission Impossible, my dad had when we left, we went with a huge group on Sunday. He said that plane scene went on too long and so did the water. He loved it, but he said those should have been cut. I'm like, Dad, that is why people go. They're a little full of themselves.
That's a wild opinion. I'm sorry. To come out of Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, and be like, the set pieces have to go is wild.
Not to go, but to shorten them. And I'm like, first of all, as a filmmaker with a ton of juice, that you can stand up and say, no, we're not cutting that down or we're not editing that because I have the power to keep it and we're keeping it. And they're in love with what they did because they should be, because it was unbelievable. That is why you see those movies on a big screen. So I don't disagree that it could have been a few minutes shorter, but I'm fine with it the way they did it. It was so much fun.
That's not the part I'd be cutting. That's not the part. I'd be taking the scissors to.
cut the first part out like we talked about. So Hollywood is, I read this yesterday, I think it was in Variety, anticipating a $4.2 billion summer. That was the other reason I wanted to ask you, is the box office back or are they back? The movies are really good. Like you said, you've got Sinners by Ryan Coogler, a guy who had the power to get the movie made that he wanted to get made, and it was in wide release. Most of those are franchise films or Marvel. Or a director like Christopher Nolan has the power to get them made. I wish there were more of those guys, those auteurs, like you say.
Yeah, the last time the box office grossed over $10 billion in America was 2019. We haven't grossed that much since then. This year is really steadily going in the right direction, and it's moving right. I don't know if we'll ever get to those kind of insane highs from the 2010s. Just because, streaming was still kind of, not entirely in the mix back then. There is still a crowd of people that doesn't go to the movies as much as they used to. Frankly, it's a lot of older audiences. I know a lot of people like to blame young people for, you know, being on TikTok and being on YouTube and Twitch and, you know, all those things. But older audiences, if you look at the movies that don't perform the same way, it's older audiences that aren't showing up in the same numbers anymore. Those kind of the movies for adults that used to help buoy when a big blockbuster didn't do well, that people aren't showing up for them anymore. And part of it is, you know, streaming is here now. But part of it is Hollywood stopped making those movies and trained older audiences out of going to the theaters.
Let's pick up there, Matt. We got to do intermission here, but we'll be back. We'll have Matt for a few more minutes after the news. It's Peach Bobbitt and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Stock futures are rallying this morning after a court in New York ruled unanimously President Trump overstepped his bounds when he imposed sweeping tariffs on other countries. CBS's Erica Brown reports.
The ruling from a three-judge panel at the New York-based Court of International Trade came after several lawsuits arguing Trump has exceeded his authority. The White House issued a statement saying in part, quote, "It is not for unelected judges to decide how to properly address a national emergency."
Dow futures are up 475. The president lashed out at a reporter who asked him how he feels about financial analysts embracing the new term for his on-again, off-again approach to tariffs. Taco trade. For Trump, always chickens out.
Don't ever say what you said. That's a nasty question.
A Financial Times columnist came up with the term this month. It's over.